Matrice Richardson's death was avoidable, a tragic combination of mental illness and gross incompetence by the police. Was she murdered, or was it a blatant disregard for human life and need that ended in tragedy? We will never know because the responding officers seemed to have done everything within their power to tamper with evidence. Was it because Matrice was black? Was it because she was a woman? Was it because she had a mental illness? Or did her unfortunate death happen because of the lack of training and funding? You decide. And you need to decide quickly before it happens to somebody who may be close to you. Early on Wednesday. Hey, it's Lav here with Early on Wednesday, and I am bringing you your Wednesday episode. So today we are going to be talking about the disappearance and death of Matrice Richardson. Matrice Richardson was born on April 30th, 1985. She was from Long Beach, California, and she graduated from Cal State Fullerton with a degree in psychology. She was even interning under a clinical psychologist. She had it together. She was striving. So Matrice LaVon Richardson is called on stage in her kindergarten graduation to accept her certificate. Now, this is a memory from her mom, so we're just kind of diving in to kind of see the kind of person that Matrice was. So her mom remembers her going on stage to get her certificate, and she turns to face the auditorium, and she launches into the running man dance and just slays the crowd. Everyone goes wild. Matrice was the typical definition of a clown. She loved attention. She was often called a princess. And most of all, she loved to dance. She was a dancer. Her mom says that she used to wiggle in her crib to Prince before she could even walk. Her favorite song when she was a baby was Kiss. And nobody could ignore her. She lit up the room. Everyone knew when she came in. Matrice did the standing splits for no reason. She would give big exaggerated air kisses. She would make people laugh. She was friendly. She was the life of the party. But in the fall of 2009, when Matrice was 24 years old, she kind of hit a slump. She had a breakup with her long-term girlfriend. In reality, even with just that, she wasn't doing well. Just a breakup in general, you know, puts you into a depression. But Matrice also suffered from mental illness. She had bipolar disorder. On top of this breakup and her disorder, she wasn't doing too well. She seemed to be going through a manic phase. Bipolar is basically where you have like extreme mood swings. You can have manic and depressive behaviors in bipolar. You can just be manic, you can just be depressive, or you can have both. It's really unclear what Matrice's actual diagnosis is. I will just kind of briefly discuss the symptoms for both the manic and the depressive side. Manic phases generally are characterized by extreme happiness and excitement. They're restless, they have rapid speech, they're paranoid, they have poor judgment, they have a high sex drive, they're less likely to sleep, they're irritable, and sometimes they can even be hostile. They have like a very volatile, short fuse sort of behavior. Then on the flip side of that, the depressive phase, that's characterized by sadness, loss of interest, loss of energy. They're also irritable. There's a huge feeling of helplessness. They need more sleep. They have suicidal thoughts, or they may even attempt suicide in the depressive phase. So that's just a few of the symptoms. Each person is different, and each episode can be different. A person with this diagnosis can suffer from all of these plus more, or they can only suffer from one or two of these symptoms at a time. Bipolar has been associated with hallucinations. I'm just going to put this out there just because once we get into the story, that's going to be one of the questions that you have. So bipolar, one of the symptoms can be hallucinations. They can be visual, which is seeing things. They can be auditory, which is hearing things, hearing sounds, hearing voices. They can be tactile. which is feeling it, feeling the hand on your body, feeling something moving on your body or even moving within your body. You can smell things in these hallucinations. And there's also the sense in these hallucinations that your body is flying or floating. Now that we've kind of gotten that out of the way, let's get back into what's going on with Matrice. So at this point in Matrice's life, during the breakup, she starts to act very bizarre. Examples of this behavior coming from her friends and family is things like she texted a friend about how she was part of the universe and nature. She texted her mom saying, "Watch the news today. It's going to shock the hell out of you." On Facebook, she posted, "I just want to sleep, LOL. But you know me and my crazy ideas. Let's see where they take me." So from what I can gather, this Facebook post was done on the day all of the shit went down. Okay? After that Facebook post, as the day went on, no one could reach Matrice. So nobody knew what this crazy idea was. Well, at least no one coming forward knows what this crazy idea was. What we do know is that Matrice decided to drive 40 miles to the restaurant Geoffrey's on Pacific Coast Highway. I was stationed in Point Magoo, so I know exactly where all of this is taking place, actually, and I have been to Geoffrey's, and it is a very fancy place. You don't just decide to go there on a whim. It's expensive. They have a dress code. Like, it's just not something like that you can just typically go into. Every time that I've been, it's been packed. You've needed reservations, all kinds of stuff. So just her even deciding to drive there on a whim seems crazy to me. But she supposedly did that. She got there at 7 p.m. exactly. So this place has a valet. That's how fancy this place is. It's classy. I honestly, when I was there, I totally didn't fit in. I felt like Pretty Woman putting ketchup on my steak. But let's get back to Matrice. While the valet is parking her car, Matrice decided to get into another vehicle and start rummaging through the glove box in the center console. The valet caught her, and then she proceeded into the restaurant and ordered herself a cocktail and a steak. I'm assuming that this took place at the bar, but I really don't know for sure. I don't know if she got a table, exactly how it kind of worked out. My thought is that she was initially going to meet somebody there. She sat at the bar, waiting for the person. She ordered her drink. When the person didn't show up, she ordered her dinner. So at this point, Matrice is sitting at the bar, and this group of seven people around her age, who she doesn't know, they don't know her, comes in, and they're having one hell of a good time. So she decides she's going to just invite herself to the group. She wasn't invited. She just joined them. LA Magazine writes, "Patrons and staff said she seemed off, eccentric, and at one point claiming she was an alien from Mars. This group that she just kind of dinner crashed didn't ask her to leave, though. They allowed her to sit with them and join in the conversations, even though she was being weird." So this group finishes their dinner, and they left. Matrice is trying to walk out. She's trying to leave. The manager stops her, and he's like, "Here's your bill. It was $89. My other theory is that Matrice, realizing that she's been stood up for whoever she was going there to meet, she knows she can't afford the meal, so she tries to make friends with this table in hopes that her meal will get mixed up with the seven other dinners and she can hopefully avoid paying for it. This and the theory of her meeting someone at the bar is not substantiated by anything, but someone who drives 40 minutes to an expensive-ass restaurant when they have no money and she made no other stop, she knew exactly where she was going and she got there at the very specific time of 7 p.m. on the dot. That's not something that happens to someone who just on the whim decided they are going to a fancy-ass dinner by themselves. This looks to me like she was meeting somebody there." When Matrice can't pay for her bill and is confronted by the manager as she's trying to walk out, her response is, "Oh, I'm busted. Ha ha ha. What are we going to do about that?" And the manager showed her the bill. I guess, according to the manager, Matrice just stared at it like she was in a trance. She told him she was from Mars and remarked about settling her debt with sex. When he turned her down on her offer, she called her grandmother, who attempted to pay for the meal over the phone, but the manager denied her grandmother the payment because they wanted a signature. Matrice's grandmother had no way to get the signature for her payment. Based on the amount of the bill and her eccentric behavior, the manager of the restaurant called the police. Staff was reported telling the police, "We have a guest here who is refusing to pay her bill. She sounds really crazy, like maybe she's on drugs or something." Of course, upon arrival, the sheriff's department administers a breathalyzer and drug test, thinking Matrice may be on drugs or drunk. But she passes the test. She's clean. Matrice was then arrested. She was taken to Malibu Lost Hills Station, and her car was towed to the towing station that was about 11 miles away from the Pacific Coast. Matrice's car was impounded with all her belongings inside, including her phone, purse, and ATM cards. The deputies drove her to the Malibu station. It's about a 20-minute drive north of Malibu, where she was booked at 11 p.m. According to the station logbook, Matrice made 4 phone calls while in custody. She told the deputies that they were to her great-grandmother, but the calls were not recorded due to the faulty recording equipment at the station. And what is really strange is that her grandmother insisted she never received any phone calls. That night, and the phone company showed no records of the calls being made. The police, however, reported that they overheard her talking on the phone. It's speculated that she was just talking to the dial tone. Despite all of the things going on with Matrice, the police didn't search Matrice's car until it was impounded. So once they actually searched it, they found things in her car, like all of her belongings I listed before. They also found some weed, or ganja, as my brother would call it, and interestingly enough, her diary. Now, I couldn't find any specific entries that were in her diary. One can hope that there wasn't anything in there about why she was even in Malibu, and in fact, if she was meeting someone that evening. I guess only the police know the answer to that. The one tidbit of information that I could find about what was possibly in her diary was one of her last entries. She talks about how she had not slept for 5 nights, which definitely would contribute to her frenzied behavior. And even someone without mental illness may hallucinate without that much sleep. Now, when Latisse, who is Matrice's mother, called the police station to find out what was going on with her daughter and to find out when she was going to be released, she was told by the deputies that she wouldn't be released until morning time. However, that was not the case. About 5 minutes, a shocking 5 minutes after this call ended with Latrice's mom, Matrice was released from custody. She was told that she could sleep in the lobby and wait for her mom to pick her up in the morning. But you have to remember that Matrice is not in sound mind. She really has no idea what's going on. She was released from custody at 12:38 a.m. on 17 September 2009 without returning her car, phone, purse, ID cards, ATM cards, or anything that would help her make it home. And she was free to leave. And that is exactly what she did. Now, can you imagine? It's the middle of the night, and the Lost Hills station is in the middle of nowhere. Remember, Matrice is without any communication. She doesn't even have her jacket, let alone an ID or any money, so she can't buy a cab. She's just forced to walk. So what does she do? She starts walking from the direction that they originally came from, towards the mountains. Even if you're from the area, it's dangerous and impractical to even think that you can walk through that at nighttime. The horror started for her family about 5:30 a.m. when Latisse called the station to inquire about picking up Matrice, but was informed that she had been released right after her phone call with the deputies. Latisse had tried to file a missing persons report right at that moment, but told she had to wait, and then Matrice would show up. Latisse expressed her concerns, however, these were met with disinterest, and she was told it had not been long enough to file, and she needed to wait about 24 hours. So shortly after word got out about Matrice's disappearance, some promising information did come in from a man named Bill Smith. He was apparently reporting a woman wandering around in his backyard early that morning. It seems like it was around 6 to 6:30 a.m. on the morning of Matrice's release. He reported this to the police. His home was about 6 miles west of Lost Hills Station and was located at the bottom of the dark canyon in a gated community. Bill says he spoke to the woman who matched Matrice's description, asking if she was okay, to which she responded she was resting, and then she left and disappeared into the mountains. From the beginning of this case, the sheriff's department completely mismanaged the investigation into Matrice's disappearance. It became very clear that they didn't care. They waited 2 days before they went to Bill Smith's house. And once they got there, they weren't even prepared to investigate. When they arrived, they did find tracks that matched Matrice's sneakers. It appeared that she had been running, but they lost the tracks within a few hundred feet of the Dark Creek. The officers didn't even hike into Dark Canyon. They didn't call in canine. Why they didn't attempt to track her with canine is beyond me. The area in which Matrice was last seen was in a residential area of the Santa Monica Mountains called Monte Nido. Monte Nido backs up to the Dark Canyon. Keep this in mind because it's going to be needed later. It took the police nearly 4 months to search for her. 4 months. That's unbelievable. To search for a girl who doesn't even know the area, has none of her belongings, and couldn't call for help, and was on the verge of a mental breakdown. On the 9th of January 2010, detectives and officers from the Los Angeles Police Department and Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department launched a search for Matrice. There was more than 300 volunteers. And surprisingly, 4 police officers. The search teams participated in a search at the Malibu Canyon area, and you guessed it, Matrice wasn't found. The area they searched is not the exact same area as the Dark Canyon like she was last seen, however. Her family was concerned for her mental state when she was in jail and had repeatedly asked for the video, which was frequently denied. The footage would eventually go missing for several months and eventually be found in the desk drawer of the sheriff's department captain. Once these tapes were found, they had been altered and portions of the film had been redacted. The police have yet to provide any information on why they had been edited and shine any light on the portions of the video that were removed. It took the family 3 months before they were allowed to view the footage at the sheriff's department. In this footage, Latrice sees her daughter appearing frantic and distraught. However, the video had been edited, leaving the family to wonder what had been cut out. There are several places where you can tell the video has been tampered with. Example of one of these is one moment Matrice is holding a piece of paper. According to those permitted to see the tape, in the next scene, the paper appears on the floor crumpled up. Nobody knows what transpired, why the paper is crumpled on the floor, and how much time has elapsed between the two events. The sheriff's department may simply have condensed the video for an outside audience. However, they refused to clarify why the footage was edited and has not provided the unedited version. Another startling thing that has come up involving the sheriff's department, and they have declined to elaborate on, is that one of the deputies followed Matrice out an adjacent door on the night that she was released and didn't return for some time. They wouldn't even talk about it. Nobody would even say who this officer is. Matrice's dad is understandably upset and has questions that deserve answers. He is quoted saying, "The guy leaves the building right after my daughter and they don't tell us about him. He could have abducted her, offered her a ride to the impound lot, left her for dead and come back for her later. Maybe he didn't see her. The point is, why have they been hiding him? It's their job to get off their donut-eating asses and find the truth." After the deputy's name finally comes out, guess who transferred within 6 months of Matrice going missing? You guessed it, that guy. This deputy has insisted he wasn't even at the station the night that Matrice went missing. Fast forward to August 2010. Park rangers were in the Dark Canyon inspecting a marijuana farm that was being run by the cartels. The rangers come across a human skull in the area where there are no trails, lots of undergrowth, and jagged rocks. This location is about 8 miles from the sheriff's department and about 2 miles from Monte Nido, the residential community that she was last seen in. The park rangers were negotiating a series of boulders when they detoured through a wide clearing about 60 feet upslope from the creek bed when they noticed the skull and beneath the leaf debris and dirt, a semi-decomposed naked body. By protocols, they're supposed to treat it as a crime scene and gather evidence. Also, the coroner's office is supposed to remove the remains from the scene, but the coroner was never taken down to the scene. Aside from the skull, a partially mummified body was located. away from where the skull was located. Downstream, even further from that, the remains of a pink belt, black bra, and blue jeans, items that were noted to have been worn by Matrice when she disappeared. Everyone's hunch was quickly confirmed that it was Matrice. It was noted in the autopsy report that the skull was separated from the body, but the lack of procedure as well as the state of the remains left little for the coroner to go on, so the cause of death was undetermined. Later, the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department ruled out Richardson's death as accidental, despite her skull being found separated from her body and placed upside down. The Sheriff's Department suggested oak tree poisoning or a rattlesnake bite as her cause of death. The police reasoned that Matrice was stripped naked by animals, which is ridiculous to say the least. Given the location of these items, this would mean that the scavengers took off Matrice's sneakers and socks, unbuckled her belt, and slipped it out of its loops, then unzipped and tugged off her jeans before removing her underwear. The animals would have had to unfasten her two-hook bra and gotten it out from under her. Next, they would have had to drag her detached right leg up a hill. They did this, supposedly, by the thigh, when it would have been much easier for a rodent or a scavenger to drag someone's leg up by the foot, and there would have been bite marks. There was none. Then they would have had to put this leg on top of a cluster of vines. They'd have to carry the jeans and bra 500 to 600 feet away, down the canyon, drop them in the creek, and then carry the belt another 100 yards downstream to hang it on a mess of vines where it would be found. Finally, the creatures would have had to have eaten or otherwise disposed of Matrice's two t-shirts, underwear, socks, and sneakers. All of it's absurd. It's absurd to suggest that this was the work of animals, says Koff, a forensic anthropologist. She also noted that besides some rust on the zipper and buckle, the jeans and belt showed no significant damage, whether by animal or nature. The clothing, she says, could have been worn after a washing. In other words, they might not have been exposed to the elements for 11 months. This poses many questions on how long Matrice was there. When did she die? No one knows the time of death. The coroner couldn't tell us. Could she have been wandering around in these woods for months? Or perhaps somebody knew where she was the whole time, got tired of her, and disposed of her. We won't know. We'll never know. The worst part about it all is that the coroner's office seemed uninterested in what Matrice's remains could reveal. As Koff put it in December 2010 press conference, they did not take the full complement of actions that were available to them over the course of their examination. Assistant Chief Winter wouldn't comment for this article. The hair on Matrice's head wasn't examined to see if it matched the hair that was scattered on the ground. Was it someone else's? Had it been cut off? The metallic fragments and earrings in the detached hair, or earring that Matrice wasn't wearing at the time of her arrest, wasn't sent to a crime lab. That just boggles my mind. She had on earrings that she wasn't wearing when she was arrested, and it wasn't tested. There was bug egg casings on her body that wasn't tested either to determine when the flies hatched or whether they were consistent with the environment. Evidence that would help determine the time and place of death. Dirt, leaves, blood, none of it was tested. There was nothing done to look for evidence of trauma. There was nothing done to look to see how she actually died. There was no rape kit or sexual assault examination done. There was no pubic hairs taken, even though they were present on the remains. Nothing was combed for suspect hairs. No foreign fibers were taken or tested, and that means that there was no semen tested. Nor were the articles of clothing near the scene tested. There was nothing tested. For several weeks, in fact, the coroner didn't even know where the clothing was. Koff found them wadded up in Matrice's body bag after reviewing the remains. Matrice's teeth appeared to be slightly pink, a possible sign of strangulation. But the coroner still hasn't recovered the hyoid, the neck bone that helps determine whether the person was strangled. If that bone is cracked or broken, that is the only sure sign to know that somebody was manually strangled. And they haven't looked for it. There hasn't been a second search of where her body was found. They haven't been able to determine anything. Last fall, Latisse, visited the spot where her daughter was located in Dark Canyon with her sister-in-law, friends, and Koff, who was present too. All of them equipped with climbing harnesses, ropes, helmets. The sheriff's department, search and rescue, led the way as they created a small memorial of plastic flowers. Guess what they found? The woman found one of Matrice's fingers in the dirt. Matrice's family wanted her body exhumed. It was granted in September of 2019, 9 years after she was found. The coroner's office said that Richardson's death was still undetermined, while her family insists she was the victim of foul play. Unfortunately, we may never know what happened to Matrice. There's so many speculations. There's so many things that were done wrong. There's this shady business involving the deputy who was seen exiting the station right after Matrice, which to this day, the sheriff's department refuses to comment about. He's since transferred. It's not even known if he's still a police officer. And then we get to the crime scene and everything that was tampered with and the horrible police tactics that were done. Let's not forget about this woman. Let's not forget that this woman was in distress, and it is well reported from multiple witnesses how bizarre her behavior was, yet the police department did nothing to protect her and keep her safe. There are so many questions. The biggest one I have is, what is the sheriff's department trying to hide? What is even scarier is that many police officers throughout the world are often the first responders to incidents involving people with mental illness. Mental health facilities and services have been significantly decreased. There's been many budget cuts. There just isn't the resources for people's mental health. So police officers end up acting both as law enforcement and social workers. Is it the police's fault that they don't have proper training to handle a person in mental distress? Well, no. No, it's not. But what are they going to do about it? What are we going to do about it? According to the National Alliance on Mental Illness, 43.8 million adults in the U.S. experience mental illness each year. Almost 10 million people report struggling with a serious mental illness that interferes with their major life activities, and 16 million report having at least one major depressive episode within the past year. Law enforcement agencies have reported that anywhere from 5 to 15% of their annual calls involve someone struggling with mental illness. They may include a missing person, criminal activity, erratic behavior, or somebody who is threatening to hurt themselves or others. In many of these cases, it's paramount for law enforcement to be able to provide their officers with amazing policies and training to help mentally ill. If officers don't have proper training, confrontations involving people with mental illness escalates way more quickly than they do with somebody who is in the right mind. This puts everyone's life in danger. Studies show that people with mental illness are 16 times more likely to be killed by the police than any other suspect. And according to the Washington Post, one quarter of police shootings in 2015 involved people in the throes of emotional or mental crisis. However, it is too late for Matrice, but her case has helped spearhead initiatives and plans like crisis intervention teams. Thousands of police departments have implemented these teams. There are about 2,800 programs throughout the U.S., and the number is growing. The crisis intervention programs involve 40 hours of training to educate officers about mental illness issues, and the sessions are led by mental health professionals. Now, I know it's a little too late for Matrice, but because of her case and because how hard her family fought and are still fighting to figure out what happened to her, there has been changes on how police departments handle people with mental illness. And that is seen. It's a slow change, but it is a change. There is some hope left. If you are experiencing any sort of mental distress, text GO, G-O, to 741-741 to reach a trained crisis counselor through crisis text lines. It's always free, it's always open, and it's always confidential. Get the help you need. don't suffer in silence. And with that, I'm going to leave you guys with that. Do some thinking. Let me know what you think. Was it murder? Was it an accident? Was it bad luck? Or was it pure negligence? No one will know. But there is many questions that can't be answered with Matrice's case. And the police department has done nothing but lie. I bid you adieu. Weirdos Unite. Early on Wednesday is out. Early on Wednesday.